Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Holla at your boy, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. If you're afraid to call me, feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Now, a social network, as most of you may have guessed. So if you want to jump to my Facebook group, it is the Smooth Drama group on Facebook. Myself or Mr. J will add you if you want to jump in. Hey, we talk about this and that, from sneakers to hats, whatever it is, it's on the table. So if you want to jump in anytime, myself or Mr. J will dive in. Shout out to Mr. J, who had eye surgery. I think he can see now. I think what happened is he kept breaking mirrors and the glass kept shattering in his face and it messed his eye up. He had to have surgery. I'm playing. I want him to call me up like, hey, why you diss me on the air every week? He don't break mirrors on purpose. Anyway, Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk about it. You know, I'm friendly like that. But I am not so friendly that I will not call. Well, I won't say calling out somebody. I mean, because what I say is not really that important to some people, but I don't care. Kanye West. Y'all, I mean, he can't stay out of the news, right? I mean, this dude is, I mean, first he starts off, he changed his name to Ye. Like, I was like, we care. Like, yeah. Kanye West changed his name to Ye. You know, back now, that's all the people care. I'm going to change my name until, I don't know, somebody cares that I changed my name. Anyway, so this dude also is on Saturday Night Live talking about you know, I mean, he's got his, I mean, the dude, I'm remiss because I'm forgetting my manners. This is, you know, this is Coon Alert. He's Coon of the Week.
Coon's at, where the Coon's at, where they at, where they at, where they at?
Kanye West, Ye, whatever the hell, Ye is... He's on there talking about how, yeah, we can make America great again. We can abolish the 13th Amendment and, you know, make things fair in America again. It's like, now, most of us know that the 13th Amendment is the amendment that, quote unquote, outlawed slavery. I mean, we know slavery kind of didn't end till like the 1960s, even though they'll say, nah, You tripping. But, yeah. Technically, slavery has never ended. It's just the people enslaved have changed. I have to amend myself. Because he actually said, I amend it. Right? He said, I didn't mean that it should, 13th Amendment should be abolished. It should be amended. Amended. Like, okay, so the people who were being helped by the 13th Amendment, you should amend it so they don't get as much help? You know, I was trying to understand what the hell he was talking about. Because that whole amendment was about people who weren't free being freed. Not that they, once again, they freed us, because we know Reconstruction, then they had the Black Codes. We weren't free. It was like, well, they could arrest you and make you work on the farm because you broke the vagrancy laws. Like, if they caught you walking in the street, where are you going? You're a vagrant. It was like, I'm on my way to, nah, we caught you. That's slavery. But technically it wasn't. I mean, so after the segregation and whatnot, you know, where we could actually, like, drink water from the same water fountain and little simple stuff like that. Then we were, quote-unquote, freed. And now they just, they use girls from different countries. They bring them over here to America and make them work. That's the sex. They call it trafficking now. Sometimes they call it sex trafficking or just trafficking, human trafficking, slavery. But he said we should abolish that 13th Amendment because, because things need to be fair again. You know, that Making America, he's wearing that Make America Great Again hat. Like, you know, but the point is, great for who? Great for who? See, Coons, asking about making things great for the people who enslaved us. Because it was great for them. We worked for free, and they reaped the benefits. That's great. I mean, I don't know too many people that disagree. So you can say, let's say I'm not the slave. I'm not a slave master. I'm not holding anybody hostage. But my people, if black people were enslaving white people, if there were rich black people, wealthy black people enslaving poor white people, and I mean, I didn't really have to pay much taxes. Somebody was just doing all that hard labor, and I was just sitting back, living fat, eating good, all this other stuff. I mean, you're benefiting off of it. I don't have to compete with white candidates for jobs because they can't really work them jobs because they're slaves. They have to, like, clean up in my house or clean up in the neighborhood, whatnot. They have to do that kind of stuff. They don't really get real jobs. It's like this dude not understanding what he's talking about. But yet, I mean, the fact that I've been talking about him for a minute, it kind of irks me because he is a coon. And then they come out and talk about, oh, Kim Kardashian has a problem with him and his politics. It's like, hey, you done sucked all the blackness out of him. I mean, I'm just thinking that she, all the melanin, all the good shit that he had, she done sucked and swallowed all that shit up. That's why her booty getting bigger. It ain't that she put the fixer flat or got it fixed. I'm not going to say Kanye no more. He wants to be called Yee. That's Yee's cum. Sperm, jism, whatever you want to call it. That's what's making her booty bigger because she's sucking the life out of him. That's why he talking crazy. because all his common sense is going inside her booty. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. And speaking of theories, because we ain't going to talk about this coon no more. You know, we always talk about, like, you know, you hear people saying, oh, climate change. It's some bullshit, right? That's what they say. But, see, climate change is not about the earth getting warmer, per se. Yeah, it's about the earth getting warmer, but it's about climate shifts. So we have these inordinate amount of violent storms, right? Like North Carolina, I think it's up to like 49 people are dead after that violent storm. Then you get like here in the Bay Area. It was like warm like a southern day today. It was like it rained and then it got humid. And it was like I was back in New Orleans. It's like it got warm. It's like that's not indigenous to this region, right? And then I'm reading that they're talking about Alaska. You know, and they were talking about the scientists were saying that they were studying the region's weather and they've never seen a high pressure zone like the one that they had. One of the guys went on to say on the 2 to 3 week time scale, and I'm being technical, the recent ridge over the Bering Sea was one of the most intense on record anywhere in the world when compared to the usual climate of the region. This is from a guy, Richard James, who's a meteorologist. They were talking about how it was, they call it the Goldilocks scenario, where southern Alaska was warm. They were amazingly sunny conditions all month. And the perception for them is it's been the best September ever. Everyone's loving it because Alaska was warm. Bright, sunny, and warm in Alaska. Now, I ain't saying that it don't get warm there, but it's like September. And if you've never been in Alaska, it can get a little cold there. I went there and visited cousin a few years back, and it was a little chilly. It was a little chilly. It's chillier than what you're used to. You know, like it was like supposed to be like warm. It was warm when I was living in Southern California. I got to Alaska and I was like, my little windbreaker ain't enough. Kind of chilly. And the point is that in Alaska, it's bright, sunny, and warm. Now, see, that's the thing about climate change. That means regions that weren't necessarily warm are warm. And there are some regions where that cold is going to shift and move. Now, we don't know if maybe Antarctica might, and the South Pole, North Pole, they might unfreeze. And those areas may be habitable again. You know, like Antarctica is like minus 38 degrees. Or some stupid like that. And so, climate change. Some people think it's real. Some people say it's fugazi. Now, I'm just going to say, when Alaska's warm in September, it's like, when you have weather that is not indigenous to an area that you're in, you say, But that's not really all that important, right? I mean, it's just climate change. I mean, for me, I could say it's not a big deal because I got a little melanin. If it gets warmer, I'll be all right. I like the warm weather. I can take my shirt off. Well, you know, I got to get right to take my shirt off, right? I don't be in public and I ain't correct. I'm going to come correct. I got to be correct. I got to be right to be out there. So, I got to do some push-ups and sit-ups. So, I don't, like, hurt none of you ladies feeling like, oh, my God, put your shirt back on. I can't believe you in it. Oh, I'm not going to do that to you. In the meantime, I am going to go on break, though. I probably need to go on break. This is Jay-Z. Girls.
together you guys. Ooh, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was Jay-Z. Girls, girls, girls. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Man. So, you know, I know most people have saw that the Kavanaugh and the whole rape accusation thing on TV. I mean, it's some of the boringest ever put on. I mean, obviously not her her testimony. I mean, she seemed very credible. She was straightforward. Hey, he was on top of me. He, you know, tried to do what he was doing, had homie in the room, all that. She feared for her life, all of those stuff. And predictably, they So why she, you know, the rationale is always why she ain't come forward. You know, we've talked about it, and a lot of people talk, when people are raped, you can't really come forward. I mean, we already know. People are going to look at you like you're the bad guy. It was like homie gets on the stand, he's like, man, y'all mess with me. Yeah, I drink, I like to drink. Having fun. I mean, he make it like he's the victim, like he got raped. You raped her. Tried to rape her. But it's, you know, you saw him, he's up there, he's all he's all choking up, outraged. It's like, and then you got people like Chris Dudley. And all I remember, Chris Dudley, if you don't, as an old-time basketball head, Chris Dudley averaged like 2 points a game in the NBA. And I just remember Shaq dunking on him, knocking him out of bounds, and him throwing the ball at Shaq when Shaq was all the way on the other end of the court. And it was almost like, you know, like, If he had been close, Shaq probably would have ended his career that day. Hurt him really, really badly. But, you know, that's all I remember from Chris Dudley. And he broke out with the whole, hey, yeah, I remember him liking the party, whatnot. But I don't remember him being belligerent or anything like that. And it's like, well, I mean, one, you weren't there. And two, I don't think Kavanaugh was trying to fuck you. So, yeah, you wouldn't have seen that. Why would he? I mean, it's not like he was going to push up on you. You're 6'11", 270. He. Is what? 5'8". Whatever. It's like, of course he's not going to push up on you. He's not going to do none of that. Why am I talking about this? Well, they came out with a guy who was like a letter that the that they released from an ex-weatherman, because, you know, some other women who came out against Kavanaugh, right? And so an ex-weatherman who claimed he had a fling with one of Kavanaugh's accusers more than 2 decades ago, right? And so they were talking about one of the ladies, Julie Swetnick. And she talked about how she was gang raped, and Kavanaugh was there in the 1980s. So in the letter, he suggested that she can't be trusted because, one, she picked him up at a bar, even though he was extremely overweight. Two, she mentioned that she enjoyed group sex. Three, she never brought up Kavanaugh during the 2 weeks that they were hitting it. And four, her father said she had psychological problems. First, so because she picked you up and gave you some ass, I mean, because that basically what he's saying first is because she picked me up and I was fat, nasty, out of shape, something's wrong with her. First, that's what he's saying. Something's wrong with her because she picked me up. That's the first thing he said. Second thing he said, she enjoyed group sex. Okay. Still got nothing to do with being raped. But, hey, you know, it's like somebody says, well, hey, you know, I've had a threesome. So that means that they deserve to be raped? Once again, third, she never brought up Kavanaugh during the 2 weeks that they was hitting it. She gave you 2 weeks. You're supposed to just be happy that you got them 2 weeks in. And why would she talk about a dude that was part of a gang rape? It's like that, you know, you just bring that up like, hey, you know I was gang raped, right? And this dude who's a judge was one of them people. He was there. He might have got some. I mean, how does that conversation come up? It don't make sense. But you're talking about this dude's letter, right? Then four, yeah, the father told him that she had psychological problems. Yeah, she got raped. That generally is what happens to rape victims. They have psychological problems because they were violated at the highest level. And it's mentally unjarring. See, so what's got to happen is this, and I'm convinced. Some of these dudes just need to be raped in jail to understand what is happening. See, because folks who ain't been raped constantly comment on folks who have been raped. Until somebody that stood over you and is taking control and just raping you and just not nothing, and you better not say nothing or I'm going to kill you, or it's a bunch of them and they're gang raping you. These folks, I mean, the fact that he writes a letter and hey, you can't trust her word because she has sex with me. That right there is like you fool gave me your argument, and I can't not keep talking about it. His argument, he starts off the argument that you can't trust her because she has sex with me. You have to be a sucker to the third power, the fourth power, the fifth power. Your argument that something's wrong with somebody is like, hey, she had sex with me. She gave me some. I ain't shit. I just can't. Oh, I can't even make this up. That's his argument. She had sex with me. Then, I mean, talking about some irrelevant stuff, he had sex with her 20 years ago. I'm like, I mean, you kind of remember, but do you remember the details of the lives of somebody that you may have had sex? I mean, because they had a two-week they had a 2 week thing. 2 weeks. So you had, if you had a 2 week thing, a week thing, whatever, you remember all the details about those folks. I mean, you can remember a rape because it's a traumatic thing. You know, you can try to forget it. But just a dalliance at the bar, I mean, we know she had to be drunk because obviously you're terrible. She picked your terrible ass up. I mean, because you knew you were terrible. I mean, yeah, apparently this dude, this dude is, I mean, he's got to be like, what, you know, one of the most pathetic human beings that's ever showed up, an ex-weatherman at that, just like, you know what, I'm just fucking scrub alert. The scrub alert comes on every time he walks in the room. Scrub. When he walks in the room, I've been on this too long, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't keep it to myself. It was that Tony. I'd tell somebody. That was just the funniest thing that I've seen. I heard in a long time. And speaking of things that aren't funny, though, and while we're talking about this, the Supreme Court, the justices, they were talking about how much power that Congress can pass on to federal agencies in the case that could change the way Capitol Hill legislates. So they're arguing over whether Congress crossed the line in 2006 when it passed the Federal Sex Offender Registration and Notification Act that was signed into law by then President George W. Bush. As due, Herman Gundy, who was convicted in 2005 of raping an 11-year-old girl and then indicted in 2013 for failing to register as a sex offender in Maryland and New York, he's challenging the law's registration requirements. This dude argued that Congress had violated the non-delegation doctrine in allowing the U.S. Attorney General to make the law retroactive. You know, because they say it's a rarely enforced principle of administrative law, and it prohibits Congress from transferring its legislative power to federal agencies without an intelligible principle or guidance on which to base its regulation. And so what we're talking about here is, because he's like, hey, I was convicted in 2005, because he's not arguing that, you know what, I didn't do it. Nah. He's arguing that he didn't do it. His argument is, hey, I did it in 2005. I raped and molested an 11-year-old girl in 2005. The law didn't pass until 2006. So I shouldn't have had to register as a sex offender because the law hadn't passed yet. I should be free to roam around staring at little 11-year-old girls and thinking about raping other ones in peace. Now I can't do that because I have to register as a sex offender. That is Herman Gundy's argument. Think about that for a second. I mean, we didn't get to the point where folks ain't arguing about being innocent. No. Ain't about being innocent. It's about the fact that, hey, the law, The law wasn't in existence yet. So why are you going to make it retroactive? Now, the courts were arguing that and also that the attorney general being able to make laws, whatever, or enforce the laws after the fact in retroactive status is too much power for the attorney general or the state in general. That's part of that argument. But his argument is, I mean, I guess if he has a legit argument, if we want to call somebody raping 11-year-old girls, even being able to articulate the argument, and we have to listen to him, I shouldn't have to register because I raped somebody in 2005, and you didn't make the law a law until 2006. Got caught 8 years later. Probably trying not to register, like, it's gonna mess up my life. Not that I care. Not that anyone should care that all. He's having a hard time finding a place to live because he likes raping 11-year-old girls. He likes raping little girls. So we should feel sorry for him. Like, come on now. Come on now. Are we doing this? And I'm like, this is stuff I'm talking about. When you start talking about fruit, is going to the Supreme Court, really? Now, if we had been talking about Jim Crow laws or something like that, couldn't go to the court with that. It wasn't even going to happen. But hey, we have Herman Gundy, a convicted rapist, challenging the system because he got to register. That's his challenge. I'm a convicted rapist, but why I got to report that? Why I got to tell everybody I'm a rapist? It's not right. Sex offender. I shouldn't have to tell everybody I'm a sex offender because it's not right. That's all. And what else is there to say? You talk about bizarro world, how that's crazy as hell. We got these kind of cats arguing because they're guilty. And people actually listen to him. He's going Supreme Court with it. I should not have to register. I should be able to look at little girls in peace. I can't even go on after that statement. So I'm just gonna go on break. This little brother, shorty on the lookout.
together you got smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. That was little brother Shorty on the lookout. And for those of you who weren't able to hear that, I will apologize for the technical difficulties that are beyond my control. Hopefully we can get it under control and we won't have these issues no more. Oh, and speaking about issues, Florida. I mean, we already know how crazy it is there in Florida, right? It's from the Stand Your Ground law. We say it's crazy, but it's not crazy because we know that the law don't apply for us. It applies for everyone else. So basically, if a black person stands their ground, they're going to jail. If a white person stands their ground, they're going home. Anyway, and aside from the myriad of shooting, as a 9-year-old brought a loaded gun to his Florida school and aimed it at 3 classmates. The police said the boy made threatening comments to his classmates, and one of the students told the school officials. They took the handgun, and they were trying to determine where the boy found the gun and what prompted him to bring it to school. He's in juvenile hall, facing charges of possession of a firearm on school property and 3 counts of aggravated assault. Now, he's 9. That's a third grader. They raise them to be young killers there in Florida. Show up. We don't know whether he found the gun or not. And so this is where I come in and I say child abuse. Like you say child abuse, I'm like, he's 9. Right? He's 9. I'm guessing that he got that gun from the house. Got access to the gun at the house. He's 9. Because last time I checked, it's not like loaded guns just sitting out there in the street. You just like walking down the street. Oh my goodness. Is that a gun? Man. What is are the odds of that? Pick it up. You're at school. You got your gun. Somebody talk trash. Man, I just found this gun this morning. Because that's what they're trying to say. He just found the gun this morning. I'm trying to figure out how he got the gun. You know where he got the gun. The child abuse. Yes, I know. Some people are like, it's not child abuse. Yeah, it is. If your child has access to your loaded gun, yeah, they can know where it is. But to have the balls to take it, even if you're training them, they still shouldn't have access. You have access. You give them access. It wasn't about no intruder at the house. He wasn't standing his ground. He took the gun to school and as a third grader, he's like, what, say something. I will bust a cap in your ass. That's where we at in Florida. Talking about busting the cap on food. He's a third grader. Yeah. That makes sense. And speaking of making sense, I gotta do this because it's a Groundhog Day time.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
What is that shit that happened again? Well, the police officer charged with the murder, the 2014 shooting of Laquan McDonald, he testified. He said he opened fire when the black teenager kept advancing toward him while waving a knife, adamantly sticking to his version, even when confronted with the video that showed a different scene. You know, if you hadn't seen the video, it's another case of a black dude going in the opposite direction and getting shot. Now, I mean, it's funny because I'm reading the article. Reading the article. And let me show you how they portray this murderer. In a clear but sometimes halting voice, at times fighting back tears, Officer Jason Van Dyke described arriving in his police SUV to find McDonald in the city street carrying a small knife that the 17-year-old had previously used to puncture the tire of a squad car after officers responded to a report of someone breaking into the vehicle. And he later turned defiant under questioning by prosecutors, who pointed out that the video of the October 20th shooting didn't match his account. And what did he say? And I quote, "The video doesn't show my perspective. The video doesn't show my perspective." You know, he goes on to say his eyes were bugging out of his head. He was looking right through me. You know. And so they said in the autopsy that he had PCP in his system. Yeah. Isn't it always, they always can come up with something that, oh yeah, he had PCP in his system. Okay. We believe that. We believe what the police say. I mean, they point out, they said why he didn't step out of McDonald's path and point out the video shows him actually stepping towards Taquan McDonald, going towards him. And, you know, when he shot him, he went down. And he said, and I quote, he said that he had to, I thought it wasn't intentionally. I thought I was backpedaling. Funny. Not funny. I mean, just straight up lies. Like, I thought I was backpedaling, but the video shows him going forward. Right? And he said that he raised the knife across his chest just before the officer opened fire. Prosecutor is like, where do you see that on the video? He's like, the video doesn't show my perspective. And when he asked why, he resumed firing after McDonald lay motionless on the ground, he responded, all I could see was him starting to push up with his left hand off the ground. I still see him holding his knife in his right hand, eyes still bugging out of his face. He said, I shot at the knife. I wanted him to get rid of the knife. My focus was just on that knife. That's all I could think of. Now, granted, his partner was there and 10 other officers. Nobody else fired. Nobody else thought they were in danger but Officer Van Dyke. Van Dyke. 16 shots is what he let off into Taquan McDonald. 16 shots. Nobody else fired a shot. No, it was 10 other officers there. So, we could say there's a reasonable expectation. Use that word. Reasonable expectation that, if he was a real danger, they all would have shot him. So when you talk about 16 shots, that's supposed to be from the other officers. Because there's 10 of them, right? So you figure 16 shots between 10 officers. No. 10 officers, well, 11 officers, 16 shots, all from one guy who said he was shooting at the knife. He's a horrible shot. Once again, a murderer in our midst. 16 shots for one black man. He shot 10 more shots after he was on the ground motionless. You know, it's quite obvious he was lying on video. Well, not on video, but lying on the stand. Video shows one thing. He's saying another. Hey, you didn't see my perspective. Video shows your perspective. You're the only one shooting. That's perspective like a mug. But see, you know, what these cats are talking about here is, hey, look, what y'all saw in the video, that wasn't real. That's manipulation. They altered the tape, obviously, because I saw him raising the knife. Yeah, the video don't show him raising the knife. But hey, that wasn't what I was thinking. His words. Also, yeah, I thought I was backpedaling. Nah, the video don't show me backpedaling. I know now that I was going forward. But that was not my perspective. I wasn't thinking I was going forward. And no, I wasn't shooting. Yeah, I know he was laying there motionless. But I was trying to shoot the knife out of his hand. Trying to shoot the knife out of his hand. No biggie, right? 16 shots. 16 shots from one guy. 11 guys there. 16 shots from one guy. Nobody else fired a shot. And he's like, hey, y'all doing me wrong. No, I asked y'all. I mean, we know he's going to get off. That goes without saying. That's why it's Groundhog Day, right? He's going to get off. Because, hey, he's an officer doing his duty, which is shoot black people, apparently, who are going in the other direction. Because that's what they do. Shoot you. And shoot you. And shoot you. And shoot you. Not because you did anything wrong. Hell, you was there. I mean, in this whole show, I've talked about obvious lies. Obvious lies. It should have been just the obvious lies show, right? We start talking about shit that ain't true. So, you know, as I always ask, what do we want to be true? What's supposed to be our reality? Do we care that this keeps happening to our loved one? You tell me. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production, and I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth.
She is the lady with her hands
in her
shoulders to get the news from.
Drummer.
Together you guys.
Drummer.